WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
This is PC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rack, and you're listening to the greatest rack.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Fly, my pretties, fly.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers! And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second and you happen to have Twitch Prime, well, you can subscribe to this channel for free for 30 days, guys. Free! Nada! Nothing! All you do is hook up your Amazon Prime to your Twitch account and boom! You get free sub for 30 days. And you can use it here. Just click the little purple heart at the bottom of the screen to see if you have one available. And if you don't, well, you can certainly also just subscribe regularly. It's not that expensive, but we understand if you don't want to. If you just want to hang out, that's cool. Follow the channel if you want to get alerts, all that good happy stuff. And if you're in a following mood, if I ever get my goddamn internet fixed, you know, I'll eventually start streaming again, and if you want to know when that is, you can go over to my channel, twitch.tv/Lindsay Ward, and follow my channel. If I get two affiliates, well, y'all get a custom emote, which is a fish butt. Although now I'm kind of tempted to change it, because I found this wonderful thing on Amazon, guys, that's Morse code bracelets. There's a fuck coronavirus one, guys. Is there a fuck racism one? Because that would be amazing. And joining me tonight is my ever faithful co-host slash producer slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
Hi, chat. We're live. Can you tell?
I'm in a very strange mood tonight, chat. I'm just going to set this up. I've had a lot going on over the last 30 days. I know a lot of people have, but I've had a lot going on. And yeah, tonight is not a good night for that. So I'm in a very...
Interesting mood.
Interesting mood.
At Wild Talk Radio, at the Rack Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward on Twitter. Just call wildtalkradio.com, rackradioshow.com, or twitch.tv/WGLive. And you can interact with us there. Tonight on the program, we're going to be previewing NXT TakeOver in your house. In the second half of the show, which is probably really suited because there's not much here in the first half. Because...
There's no news.
But there's,
there, well, there's news, but there's no wrestling news.
There is wrestling news. There's stuff going on in the world of professional wrestling. People are doing things and stuff is happening. Nothing huge. There's no major breaking story. Just lots of odds and ends. So that's what we're going to talk about, presented by, as always, by MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211.
And I wish Brent was here to hear this, but sadly he's not, so... We're just going to have to proceed. So, all right, we have to talk about really the biggest news of the week, and we're not going to talk about the Spud stuff till the back half of the show because that goes hand in hand with NXT, but congratulations, Spud. We'll tell you all about it here shortly. Is that Ron Gronkowski, the amazing signing pre-WrestleMania? You know, Gronk is in WWE. Yeah, he gone. He got his title win. He got his money. He moved to Tampa Bay. He's going to go be with his work husband, Brady. He's gone. So he's no longer with the company. He exercised his release clause to go play football, which nobody's really surprised about.
Okay, so here's the deal. Gronk and Cain Velasquez and others were brought in for big stadium shows. They were brought in for big events. They were brought in as major attractions. And yes, Gronk is, whatever you think of him, he is a major attraction beyond the WWE landscape. There is no big events going on right now. He did WrestleMania because, well, he was already signed for WrestleMania and they were moving forward. And, well, that left some feelings backstage of how he handled himself at WrestleMania. So him going back playing football, that's what he wants to do. And him being released, that's one thing that needs to be done because, well, he wants to play football. And you never know, he may come back around again. But he was supposed to work WrestleMania, SummerSlam, and a Saudi show. That was his deal. It didn't work out. Because, one, there's no training camp for him to go to. There's no performance center to go to because it's being used as a television studio right now. And apparently now they're doing classes virtually. So
I'm not sure how that works, but okay.
You know, you could do promo class and stuff virtually, I mean.
Oh, yeah, you could do that, but I mean, I'm more talking about, like, you know, ring work. Do you just, like, take a dive off your couch, or what do you do?
I mean, you get a wrestling buddy and just sort of go at it? I don't know.
We don't need to encourage people to get wrestling buddies.
They're pillows. They're pillows. God, what were you think I was saying?
What did you think? I thought you were saying.
I knew what you think I was saying, but I was actually thinking of the toy, the wrestling buddy, the toy.
No, that's not where my brain went to.
I know where your brain went. Trust me, I always know where your brain went.
It always goes to the worst, most horrible, dark, perverse place, Chad, just so everybody's aware.
Yeah, anyway.
Anyway, yeah, and just to talk about what Rock alluded to in terms of WrestleMania, Gronk did hold up the show, which did not endure him too many people backstage because he was afraid to do his dive, and they had to get, or rather, they didn't have to get, but Vince McMahon decided to end the situation personally. The man is in his 70s, and he decided to do the dive that Gronk was afraid to do. Go Vince. I wish Gronk nothing but the best. Go play football. It was nice while it lasted. I don't know.
It is what it is.
I am a little disappointed because I did want that belt to get passed around the football league, but that's okay. That's fine.
That's the only disappointment out of this whole thing, yeah.
Yeah, that is the only disappointment, is that we don't get to see the shenanigans with the 24/7 title in the NFL, which is okay. But speaking of Vince, it was announced that there is a Vince McMahon biography in the work. Okay. It's going to be called The Ringmaster, supposedly, which is a good name. I would be very interested to read this, depending on what goes in this book. Because we've all heard the stories about Vin. The question is, are they going to do the he's a saint, pristine, you know, never done anything wrong in his life? Are they going to do kind of a 50-50? Is it going to be a tell-all? Like, how much is going to get uncovered in this book? That's what I want to know, because you know Vince has got some stories.
He does. Abraham Reisman, however you want to pronounce it, will be writing the book. The book is scheduled to release in 2022. This man is also the one behind the biography True Believer, which is about Stanley.
There you go. So look forward to that when it comes out. Maybe we can do a book review of it.
Maybe in a couple of years, yeah.
Maybe, if we're still doing this in a couple of years, which, let's all be real, we will.
We will be. Yeah, that's the thing.
And in other big news, because there's no good tie-in, WWE announced that there is officially a free version of the network that is available. There's no longer a one-month free trial, so you get a specific level of content for free. You do not get the shows, and I believe you do not get other certain, like the Undertaker documentary and a few other things. You have to get the paid version for that, which is still $9.99, so go off. But yeah, they did make parts of the network free for people to consume as they wanted to, which is really actually very cool of them, especially right now. I think they tested it, I guess, conveniently or not so conveniently during the pandemic, and it worked out well for them. So they've gone ahead and just made parts of it free so that way people can consume content as they like.
15,000 hours are available for free on the WWE Network. 15,000 hours.
That's a lot of content.
It's a lot of content. It includes the ride-alongs, the table for three type stuff. Trying to think of what else. I think it said something to the effect of, let's say, 15,000 action-packed hours includes new shows including Raw Talk, groundbreaking original series, Monday Night War, ride-along table for three, photo shoot, and story time. Recent episodes of the WWE flagship programs Raw and SmackDown and NXT, select historical WWE and NXT TakeOver events, along with weekly highlights, including Top 10, WWE's The Bump, WWE Now, The Best of WWE, and WWE Timeline. The launch of WWE's network-free version is a key component of our company's digitalization strategy and a new way for all fans to experience premium WWE content.
And I'm sure it will be updated with more content as time progresses, but for starts, if 15,000 hours doesn't tide you over, I don't know what to tell you other than go subscribe, because that's a lot of content.
And tell them we sent you.
And tell them we sent you, not that we get any kind of bump or that they sponsor us. And oh, hey, by the way, I think we left this out of the news. We did not talk about it, or maybe we did, is that the lead writer job for SmackDown is officially available.
Do you know why?
Because the lead writer for SmackDown got fired.
Chris DeJosa was furloughed and fired this week. Yeah, he was fired. Chris DeJosa was fired this week. Or last week. He was the lead writer for SmackDown. So there's that. Nigel McGuinness was furloughed in the recent cuts.
Yeah, Chris DeJosa was not a part of any sort of corona-related cuts. Apparently, there was a backstage incident involving Vince McMahon, and he was very promptly let go. So, if anybody would like to apply to have that dream job of being a writer on WWE where you feel you could write it better than they can, here you go, guys. Here's your opportunity. Go to the WWE site and apply. And may God have mercy on your soul if you get it. Because I hear it's a horrible job. And yes, poor Nigel. But hopefully Nigel will be brought back when they go back to the last shows, which may or may not be soon.
Could be really soon.
Could be really soon. We'll have to kind of see how.
I mean, concert halls are now going to be open in Florida, so.
Yeah, but we have to see how things go based on current events. Which, by the way, keep going, y'all. Keep going. Keep pressing. Just in terms of things spreading. Mm-hmm. So hopefully everybody stays safe. Everybody's wearing your masks. Everybody's washing your hands. And everybody is fighting racism, because fuck racism. All right. And that's all I'm going to say on the topic. And yeah, so all right. Blame Brents.
Well, let's get through the other pieces before we get to Blame Brents.
Okay. All right. ROH announced they're doing Role Play of Honor.
They're doing Role Play of Honor, which will be on the 6th on their YouTube channel. It's good. Let's see the exact phrasing for Role Play of Honor. Role Play of Honor presents the best Dungeons and Dragons on the planet, featuring Beer City Bruiser, Moth Martina, Joe Hendry, Cheeseburger, among the people involved in the best Dungeons and Dragons on the planet from Ring of Honor. Saturday, June 6th, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific, youtube.com/Ring of Honor.
Ding! Sorry, now the Blame Brents?
No, the other one. The one other story you got.
The one other... Oh, right. That. Yeah. Yeah. So, after they no longer need it, because Becky Lynch is pregnant and off TV for the next at least 12 months, Ric Flair handed over, sold. However you would like to phrase that, the rights to the man to WWE.
Woo!
Okay.
Now the Blame Brands.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
I wish he was here to hear this, but hopefully he hears this when he listens to the show, at least the first part of the show, probably tomorrow or whenever he listens to it. We may have to prompt him to go listen to it. So Britt pounded John Moxley's ass and he bruised his tailbone in the process. So
#BlameBrent.
Moxley put out a picture of a ginormous bruise on his ass with one butt cheek hanging out. So, of course, all the fangirls were all about that. But yeah, it's a nasty looking bruise. So there you go. And then there's the controversial injury. So I'm going to say what it is, and then we're going to kind of talk about it, which is Kairi Sane suffered an extremely nasty cut on her head 2 weeks ago when they filmed Raw.
#BlameBrent.
So, a lot of people are upset about this, and rightfully so. It happened in the match with Nia Jax, where they did the spot on the outside with the steel steps, and Kari got a really nasty cut on her head. It led to... It's a very deep cut, too. It led to them editing the match on Raw, and not showing any of the blood, not showing any of Kari's face, and ending the match relatively quickly after that move is hit. She posted out a tweet basically saying how strong she was, and she's a badass MF-er, for sure. And I've seen a lot of kickback on this, at least from wrestling Twitter, where there's even a rumor that going around that somebody called somebody basically saying that Nia needs to be fired, that Nia is extremely dangerous, this is on her 100% because Kari got injured. I don't know if firings are in order. I'm not going to pass judgment, but that's just kind of some of the rumors that are circulating. I will say that this is not the first time that somebody has gotten injured. So hopefully it's the last, and I'm sure Nia feels terrible about it. At least I would hope she would feel terrible about it. I don't know, though. I mean, I hope she does. I'm sure she does, right? You're not talking. Why are you not talking? Did my internet die? Chat, did my internet die? Can you hear me? Can anybody hear me? Euler? Okay, all right, cool. He's not talking. I don't know where he went.
I sneezed 1 second. Jesus Christ.
Sneeze faster, forehead? Brock is slacking, that's where he is.
Ready for break.
Do you have anything to say on Kari Sane's injury?
No, I got nothing. Because if I say something, it'd be wrong. So let's go to break.
Put it in our chat then.
You know my opinion on it already.
Yes, I know your opinion. So hopefully, Kari will heal. I believe she had to have stitches, but she should be okay. She should be fine. She'll recover and be perfectly, perfectly okay. So, all right, we are going to take our first and only break of the evening. We are going to grab the assistant to the assistant regional manager. And, you know, we're going to talk a little NXT. We're talking in your house, so you don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cig. I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me. 8 fucking lanes. 8 motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather of me dies. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking. Fucking 8 lanes, the motherfucking highway! Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking 3 lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7. Fuck, this fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway. They're not open. What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open?
Am I gonna
pack
a camel light?
Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green. No one's coming. No one's turning. And I gotta go. That's some biz. I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
Steve,
somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, fucking Sunday. You can't buy beer. Wait a minute. What time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. Get it?
All right, I'll just smoke my cigarette and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... I'm about to get plowed by fucking three 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas live midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, y'all, you want to get social with the Rack? Follow us on Instagram, instagram.com/rackradioshow.
Did you know you can use support a creator code, Rock and Sock, in the Fortnite item shop? That's R-O-C-K-N-S-O-C-K in the Fortnite item shop.
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett, the king of the mountain and founder of Global Force Wrestling, and you're listening to Rack Radio Show.
And welcome back to The Wrap right here on wildtalkradio.com, brought to my friends over at MBG Films. Talk about youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on recradioshow.com, wildtalkradio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. If you get a quick second and you happen to have a Twitch Prime sub available, well, feel free to use it here on this channel or any channel that you like. You can also follow and subscribe normally if you want to, but if you just want to hang out and lurk, that's cool too. We love the lurkers. If you have a quick second you want to follow a channel, you can follow mine, twitch.tv/LynzWard. And whenever my internet decides to actually behave itself, which will be never, I will be back to streaming again. Hopefully, crossing my fingers on that. So just to kind of update everybody, we are not doing Tweet of the Week tonight. And the reason for that is out of respect for what's going on right now in this country. So I would strongly advise you to please go out, seek out local resources that you can offer help, that you can make donations, that you can raise awareness to what is going on right now in the U.S. or in your own country if there are protests and demonstrations going on in your own country, wherever you may be. So please, please do that. Please help everybody out if you can, because we all just need to help each other and we all just need to love each other. So also, we are not doing Tweet of the Week.
Also, no one's funny.
I was trying not to say that.
Also, no one's being funny.
I was really trying very hard to like make this positive and like we're... No, he has to ruin it.
Well, you know, if it wasn't me, it's probably the person we're about to bring on the show.
Yeah. So joining us tonight is the assistant to the assistant regional manager, the man that pounded John Moxley's ass, Kane Kittens.
From 20,000 leagues under the sea, the busiest shark of them all, the assistant to the assistant regional shark, Intern Shark Kane Kittens.
Wait, what? What? Moxley, what? Where the hell did that come from?
The first segment of the show. You have to go back and listen to the first segment. See, this is what happens when you miss the first segment of the show.
It is. You have to listen to the whole show. Otherwise, you miss things. Important things. Like, why you pounded John Moxley's ass.
Think about it, Brian. Think about it.
I don't want to.
Alright, so we're here to talk about things tonight on the show. That's why the intern's here, to talk.
Hi.
We're talking NXT. So with that, I think I need to hit the bumper.
Hit the bumper!
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
We're not going to do the whole rundown of the show because there's only really one important thing from NXT last night.
Mia Yim, and Keith Lee. Awesome.
We'll talk about that when we preview the matches. Talk about that. El Hijo de Fantasma or something, you know? Something like that. Is your new crew...
El Hijo de Fantasma?
El Hijo, that's the word I was looking for. El Hijo de Fantasma is your new Cruiserweight champion, because he beats Spud. And we sat here going, no, not like this. We both legit said it as it happened.
It wasn't even that he beat him. I mean, I think we all knew that was coming. Like, there's no way they're going to do it, right? There's no way they're going to make Spud the Cruiserweight champion, even though that would be completely awesome. Because it's like, he's not been re-signed. Nothing had indicated he was going to be re-signed. This was, in fact, his last match, and Impact had already teased him for something else, which was a little rude. But it's like, they're not going to do it. There's no way they're going to do it. But they had at the end of the match, they had the Lucha Ninjas, who look like Fortnite henchmen,
mm-hmm.
come running down and for the distraction in the match. And that's what cost Spud the match, was the henchmen.
And that's when we screamed, no, not like this. No, not like this.
Yeah, it was like, y'all did him dirty, man. Y'all did him so dirty. Why would you do that? It's like, I know they're going to break my heart. I know this is coming, but not like this. Don't screw him over. Not like this. And there was this massive outcry, I think, from everybody, because Spud is in the ring afterwards and he's heartbroken and he's crying and all the wrestlers are clapping and they're slapping the protective shield in solidarity for Spud, who just put on a hell of a match, by the way. It was wonderful to watch. If you didn't see it, go back and watch that match. It's definitely worth checking out. And yeah, you're just sitting there heartbroken and he's talking to the camera and he's giving that final farewell and he's taking that long walk up to the ramp and this is the last time we're ever going to see him. And he's looking out over the NXT arena one last time.
So before you go, and at this point I told her, please Regal come out. Please.
Yeah, it's like, come on, you have to. You can't end the show like this. Your go home for in your house cannot be Rockstar Spud standing on the ramp crying because he's done. Like, I cannot have that in this, you know, in this environment. What's going on in the world right now with everything? It's like, for the love of God, just give me something happy. Give me something good. Please do it. And then they heard our pleas. They heard our cries. But instead of Mr. Regal, we got one upped. We got one better because we got the father of NXT, Papa Hunter. He comes out and he hugs Spud and he congratulates Spud and then he hands Spud a contract for NXT.
And he signed it on the spot. Handed him the pen and everything. Signed it on the spot. Okay. So I know everyone, oh my God, did they really just use this angle? Shut up, people. Enjoy it. Just enjoy it for the ride it is. Come on.
Well, and here's the thing. It's not to say that he wasn't released before, because as we all know, he was released. It was just a matter of, this is the moment where we always talk about WWE listening to fans, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how they don't ever do it. Last time I saw that video had, what, 2.5, 3 million views on Twitter? The Spud video?
Yeah.
That was a moment, it's like, you know, you saw pure emotion of, you know, what this meant to him and when it was taken away. And everyone rallied around it. And I think that was one of those things where WWE went, oh shit, we have something.
The stars align. So he went forward in the tournament and Hunter talked about it today. And it's like, he came forward, he did the tournament and it just magically, all the stars align. It was unfortunate. They weren't doing anything with him beforehand, so that's why he was on the chopping block, because he was not being used at all. And it just worked out perfectly in timing. And he's now signed back with NXT, and he'll be a regular character on the program, and I hope they use him to his full advantage.
I think it'll work well on NXT, because NXT, as we've seen over the past couple of weeks with this tournament, has really kind of embraced the Cruiserweights. The Cruiserweights did not really have a spot on the main roster. They were kind of bouncing around. They had 205 Live, but, I mean, I think we can all admit none of us really watched that.
No, because it's on Fridays sometimes at 10 p.m.
I wasn't sober when it was on, I'm going to be completely honest.
But They put the cruiserweights on ever since they went live. Ever since they went live, the cruiserweights have been a featured portion of the show. Continue.
And I think with this, I mean, when you have to try and do 205 live, and you've got, no offense, the main roster writers writing for the cruiserweights, something gets lost. I don't know if they know how to handle them. But when you go down to NXT, they get a chance to shine. They get a chance to, and NXT is, we'll all agree, the wrestling heavy show, which for the cruiserweights is exactly where they want to shine. They want to perform the moves. They don't necessarily need the big story. Right. You don't need the big stories. And if you do, that's when you make a jump to the main roster and they're like, okay, we can make a story for you. But for just the regular cruiserweights, just let them go. Because as we saw with this tournament, it was good.
Right?
At times it was good. The matches could have been longer at points.
Yeah.
But
the match, anything with Kushida could have been a bit longer.
They did a bunch of 3-4 minute matches. They could have been 8 when in the right situation.
But they also had the story at the heart of it, which is what really drew. Because as much as, you know, we saw Tony Nese and Isaiah Swerve Scott and Jake Atlas, you know, as much as we saw those guys, Spud was the star of this tournament.
Yeah, Spud was. He's so likable. And Hunter mentioned, like, he's one of the most likable people you meet because he loves WWE. He loves the business. He's so passionate about it. And he wants to do anything he can to succeed. And to watch him grow as a performer here in the last few weeks and get the crowd and the internet behind him was great to watch. And me and Lindsay and Brent, we've been fans of Spud for a long time, all the way back to Impact.
Oh my God, ever since they brought him over.
His stuff over in Impact was some of his best stuff. Him and EC3 together were comedy gold.
Well, and if you remember, how did he make it to Impact?
The British boot camp. Or the Superstars. Yeah, the British boot camp.
The British boot camp. Do you remember who else was in the boot camp?
Skrull.
Yeah, Marty Skrull, who a lot of people will probably go, oh, he might be a bigger star. No, Spud was the personality. And it's like, honest to God, I mean, is he the greatest wrestler? No. But he's good, and he can put on a good match. But he has something that just let him shine. And that can take you so much farther.
He's so endearing. He's so charming. He's so just lovable. I mean, like Rock said. And like you said, he just has that quality where you just want to run up and hug him, because when he needs to be serious, he's completely serious. But I think what I loved was in this moment before NXT hit the air, he put out a post talking about his last match, right? In NXT and how, you know, what WWE meant to him and that, you know, he was happy to have been a part of it. And then he said, I always try to keep things light and make the crew chuckle. And I took my duties as GM of 205 Live very seriously. And there's 4 pictures of him standing there looking at the 205 Live TV with his pants around his ankles. And he follows it up, I think, by saying, if I'm standing there looking at a TV, odds are my pants are down around my ankles.
Well, I was going to say, one of the things I loved about Spud is, you know, he could be an authority figure. For 205, you didn't need William Regal. You didn't need Hunter. You needed someone that was on their level. And Spud stepped into that role. He's also fucking hilarious. His 24/7
Oh my God!
Stint. And like, him having to try to get the title to consummate his marriage. And, like, all of that was just hilarious. And then, you know, like, this tournament group, he can wrestle. And he can have those, like, heart-tearing moments where, like, when he lost his first match to Jake Atlas, and you were just like, oh, God, are they, you know, is it going to be one of those, like, he's trying to fight for his life, and he just loses? Like,
yeah.
That's the way that the story could have gone, and you were just sitting there as a fan going, oh God, this could be heartbreaking. But it's like, then he started to pull off the wins, and you got invested. He does so many things well, and I think that's one of the things that the company also really appreciates about him, is that if they came to him and were like, and I mean, he did this with TNA as well. Hey, we need you to go out there, and, you know, we're going to pair you with EC3. He's going to be the muscle, but you're just going to be that little yippy dog and just, like, be a bump monkey for someone. He just looks at you and goes, okay, what do you need? Mm-hmm. You can tell. And someone like that, even though the company had to let him go for, you know, economic reasons and things like that, you know that they love guys like him, and they will want to have someone like him around, because again, they can give him whatever role they need to fill at that moment, and he'll just run with it.
I feel like, and this is may sound very wrong, and I apologize if I offend anybody, but I feel like he's in a much better position now than he was prior to any of this happening, because if the pandemic had never happened, right, and WWE was chugging along as normal, Spud would have been in this tournament, but he probably wouldn't even been a thought in this tournament. He probably would have lost 1, 2, 3, and that would have been it. He never would have been a contender. The fact that he got released, the fact that he puts out this impassioned video talking about, you know, how this has impacted him and his family and how much WWE means to him and what he's going to do in these final 3 matches for the company and what he wants. And it just captures the fans' hearts. Right. And we all get behind him and we all stand behind him. And we're like, for the love of fuck, these are his last 3. Make them worthwhile. Make them count. Use him to the best of his ability, because he deserves, at the very least, he deserves a chance to shine one more time. Because, like, he was great on 205 Live. And then they put him with the AOP. And for a while, he was great with the AOP. Until somebody decided, you know what, you gotta piss yourself on national television. And then from there, he was a joke. But he actually, like, the stuff with AOP was so good, and I hate that they ruined that. And then he did the 24/7 title stuff, and that was awesome. And then he was just kind of bouncing around and drifting from place to place. Now, he didn't win the tournament, but he has the fans behind him. They have a star. They have a made star. Right now with Spud, because we're all behind him. We all support him, and they can bring him into NXT. He has a job. He's employed. Yes, it may be a pay cut. That sucks. But there are a lot of people that are taking pay cuts right now. Personally, if I have to pick between having a job or not having a job and a pay cut to keep my job, guess what I'm going to do?
You take the pay cut.
I'm going to take the pay cut. And people will probably argue with me on that. And one could argue that he never should have been fired in the first place. And I certainly agree that nobody should have lost their job in this at all. But it is the unfortunate economic situation that we're all facing. But I feel like he is in a better position.
He has a new home.
Right now.
He has a new home. And that's all that matters.
And he will be used, I feel like, so much better, especially right now, in NXT than he ever would have been on the main roster. Because like you said, that's the thing, is in terms of the writing for NXT, in terms of the way that they treat people in NXT, it is completely different from Raw and SmackDown. Hunter views the product differently. He handles the product differently. His goal is to use people the best way that he can. It doesn't always work. He doesn't always succeed, but he tries. And people are given chances.
Yeah, well, and we've talked about before, Hunter views NXT as a territory.
Mm-hmm.
He views it as, there's the main roster out there. NXT is its own thing, and it is housed within its own. He develops it. And as
it's
much as
baby.
You know, it's his baby, but it's also, NXT is not a developmental brand in the sense of, like, you know, oh, well, it's just, you know, it's just there. It's the lower brand. No, it's its own area. Now, what he's doing is preparing people to go to be up to the main roster, but also at the same point of, if they don't go to the main roster, they can be stars here and be perfectly okay. We've seen that with Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano, currently right now Adam Cole, although that could very much change here very quickly.
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing. Like Hunter grew up with the territories. He's very much, you know, if you've heard interviews with him, he loves it. And he views NXT as that, because you have, like, NXT UK. He wants to put one in Japan. He wants to put one in South America and turn this into, like, global territories where people can be housed there. But at the same time, if need be, they can make a jump across the pond, as we've seen with a certain Mr. Dunn when the world isn't falling apart.
Yeah.
And you know, make appearances here, just like in the old days when someone would go to, like, Smoky Mountain and make appearances, and then go up to, you know, WWWF and make appearances. That's how Hunter views us, and that's how he's running it. And these people that are coming from the indies are learning the WWE style, but at the same time, they're given a chance to shine and develop and be stars here if they want to be.
Pretty much.
And what's really nice about NXT is, yes, Ash, it did originally kind of start along the same concept of a baseball farm team, where it was the developmental brand, and it was previously kind of sort of abandoned and wasn't taken care of, and Hunter kind of came in, and with his crew, they renovated essentially developmental and created NXT and what it is. But what I really love is that they recognize that NXT is viable enough on its own to be its own brand, to stand on its own, that it doesn't need the Raw and SmackDown support to draw fans or draw stars. And they've also recognized that certain talents work on NXT. When they go up to Raw and SmackDown, they're probably not going to work. They're probably not going to get over. People are probably not going to understand it, looking at you, Vince. And so they keep them, as many of them as they can, in NXT. Now, the point is to still get other people on TV and get them moved around and get them moved within the different products. But ultimately, there are talents. They are going to spend their entire career in NXT. And I think they're perfectly happy with that, based on the way that they run it.
Especially now that it's on television.
Yeah, okay. Now that it's on television, it's off the network. It's just more legitimate.
So, with that, what is on the network is this Sunday. NXT in your house. Sadly, there are no hog pen matches, which a reporter brought up to Hunter and made him laugh earlier.
No pig shit, Hunter? Really?
No. He said they were big and they smelled. You know, that's what they are. But
nostalgia.
Yeah, so the song we came into the segment with was the In Your House theme song from number 2. The one where Jeff Jarrett sung.
Oh, God.
With My Baby Tonight. Awesome song.
Now my question is are they going to give away a house like they did the first one?
They're not
going
to give away a house, but by God, I want the house set.
Yes. Give us the house set or do some kind of house set, please.
Like, Tommaso Ciampa was out on the interviews and he's saying he wants the nostalgia for it. He wants it. Like, because they grew up with it. And it's like, let's start with it. In Your House pay-per-views back then were not the greatest shows in the world. They weren't.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
They had solid undercard matches and a quality main event most times. Like in the first year or so. And then Sean got his title reign, so the matches got improved because it's Sean in the main event of In Your House events. But what the concept was, they were like cheap, affordable events. That's what In Your House was. Like $10-$15, and then it became $20, and then it became $30 when they became 3 hours. But they're like 2 hour events, just of solid wrestling. There was one where Bret Hart wrestled twice. That was the first one. Bret wrestled Hakushi, and then Jerry Lawler in a thing. You had Sid Vicious and Diesel in main events. The one I always go back to is Shawn. It was Shawn and Diesel taking on, was supposed to be Yoko and Owen, but Owen wasn't there, so they replaced him with the Bulldog, but it was all the titles were on the line in one match, which back then was a really cool concept. You never saw all three titles. Yes,
that was In Your House 3.
Yeah. It was like, and back then there were only three titles.
Think about that.
Two singles and a tag. That's it. And they were all aligned in one match. You could never do that again, but it was all in one match. It's pretty cool. And then you have everyone talk about Mind Games, and then you can talk about, you know, when Kane debuted, that was technically an In Your House. It was Bad Blood in Your House in 97.
Where he ripped the door off of the Hell in the Cell like badass.
What was the last In Your House before this one?
Before this one?
Yes.
The final name, are you talking about?
Uh-huh.
I want to say, what was it, St. Valentine's Day Massacre or Backlash?
It was Paul White coming up from the ring and throwing Stone Cold out of the cage.
Yeah. St. Valentine's Day Massacre. Yeah.
Yep.
Because, like, I'm trying to think, because I think at one point it was the next Backlash was going to be In Your House, but they scrapped it, I think. But, yeah. They were awesome. But now we got it back. And Hunter talked about, it's very coincidental. He didn't know.
Is it? No,
it is. Cause he didn't know it was 25 years when they came up with the name for it this time. Because they didn't want to use the Orlando name. Like NXT TakeOver Orlando, since they're in their house. So he didn't know it was 25 years when he came up with it.
I thought you were talking about the In Your House. Like that this all would be going on when they came up with it.
No. That it was 25 years for the name when it happened, when they came up with it. They just randomly put out the name In Your House and then the connection came together.
You know, some things are just meant to be.
So someone somewhere get Todd Pettengill back and let him run around.
He was in Tucson. Let me see.
He was on the bump like a month ago celebrating the 25 years of In Your House. Like, and what was so cool about the shows back then? You had people running through the crowd trying to hawk merch.
Oh,
here, buy this WWF t-shirt. And back then, it was one size fits all.
They weren't quite a t-shirt company.
They were not a t-shirt company. They were a one size fits all. It's an extra large.
Okay. I do have to say, I remember back in the day when you used to get like the WWF magazine and it had the shop stuff in there.
Uh-huh.
Oh my god.
Like, the Bret Hart sunglasses and like the teddy bears of all the different stars. Oh my god, I miss that so much.
I think I still have some of the WWF or WWF magazines around here somewhere. I think I still have them. Like, I saved everything with all like the shop adverts and everything, cuz like that was my okay, so sidetrack into my dreams and what I wanted to do when I was younger and I first started watching wrestling and I was a budding graphic designer. I wanted to work for WWF magazine. Like, I wanted to get hired by them. I so wanted to do that. Don't get me wrong, I would kill to get on as a graphic designer for WWE. Like, I would kill to do that. Just because, yes, all the yes, give me access to those photo archives. I want them so hard. I just want that server in my life so I can take everything off of it and just keep it personally. Never share it, never do anything with it, just have it. But yeah, that was my goal, that was my dream. I wanted to work for WWF magazine. I cried the day that they're like, yeah, we're not going to publish it anymore, that they killed the print version and the digital version, because they took it from print to digital, and they're like, yeah, we're just not going to do it anymore. And I'm like, oh damn it. Sad day. So yeah, so if anybody from WWE needs a graphic designer, I do freelance, except they want local people, which sucks. So anyway, because I did actually apply for a freelance position and got told they wanted somebody local, it's like, damn it, you suck. Ooh. Well, I asked the guy, because I follow some of their graphics people. This is a weird conversation. It has nothing to do with NXT, but I asked them, I was like, because I applied for it, and then I was like, because it's freelance, right? So you don't necessarily have to be in the office to do it. And I was like, could it be done remote, right?
Yes! Rock, I love you!
Oh god, what did he find? And so...
A sample of the catalog!
Not only did I find a sample, I just took the picture of said catalog.
Yeah, there it is, there it is.
Oh my god, Raw on TNN! Holy shit!
I think I know exactly what year that's from, too. I think that's, like, 2001, uh-huh. 2002.
2001.
Like, I know exactly what year that is. That's sad. But anyway, but they were like, yeah, no, we want somebody local. And I'm like, yeah, god damn it. And WCW was closed when I started watching wrestling, technically. I mean, I think I saw, like, two episodes of Nitro before they shut it down. Two. There's a request from the chat to show the catalog.
I'm going to work on it. Give me a minute.
But yeah.
I was doing something else.
But yeah. The WWF magazine, y'all, with the shop catalog. Do you remember when they would send, I don't know if you guys ever got the subscription, but do you remember when they would send, like, the actual shop catalog in the mail?
Oh, yeah.
It would be all themed and everything?
Uh-huh, yeah. The thing is I would all, every time I got it, I started to go through and I would start making a wish list of, like, yep, I want that. And I want that. Of course, my order would have been like $250 in the end, but it was still like, if I could only do it.
Does anybody remember when shirts cost like $25 or $20 or some shit like that?
Mm-hmm.
Or shirts were $20 and then they went up to $25. I think they're like $30 now.
But there's always a buy one, get one tonight only on WWEshop.com.
The NWO t-shirt was $25. Sizes medium to double XL in this catalog.
There's the WrestleMania box set. There's the Undertaker Kane gear. Because, yeah, I think they were doing the Brothers of Destruction stuff.
It was WrestleMania 18, whenever that was. 2000.
That was, I think, 2001.
2002.
Or 2? Mm-hmm. Okay. That was close.
Yeah.
Missed it by that much.
Yes, folks, we're tangenting. We'll get to the pay-per-view.
Nostalgia. This is the type of wrestling nostalgia that we talk about, not about the Attitude Era and all the grand matches that happened in the Attitude Era. No, it's, y'all remember WWF Magazine from way back when?
Here you go, chat. It's on the screen now.
I can't even remember, like, what year it was, but I always remember, like, coming home from school, like, when I was in fifth grade, and, like, anxiously waiting around probably beginning or middle of the month when it would show up. The one cover I can remember especially, and it's really weird, was like, I remember when like Doink debuted and like they had him on the cover. Don't know why that one stands out, but it's just the earliest one I can actually remember.
My favorite cover was the DX cover where they were all dressed up like the gangsters.
Yes.
That was so badass looking. Like, that was so tough looking. That was one of my favorite covers that they ever did. I actually have, funny enough, I actually have one of the magazine covers. I'm looking at it right now, hanging on my living room wall, because it's signed by Kane. And it's the one where it's his face right after he got unmasked and he was looking like Cindy Lou Who. It's that one. I just realized, or remembered that that's right there on my wall. It makes me so happy.
So anyway, let's move on.
Let's move on.
Because we could be here
because
all
we have a pay-per-view.
A special. A network special. Live. This Sunday. Only on the WWE Network. We start off with Mia Yim, Tegan Nox, and Shotzi Blackheart taking on Dakota Kai.
Boo.
Raquel Gonzalez and Candice LeRae.
Okay. Okay. Okay, guys. I have to know who's bringing the pizza.
Tegan.
Oh. I want Tegan to, like, walk out and fucking, like, pie-face Candace with it.
Or Tegan.
I laugh my ass off.
Or Dakota. Either or both. Both is fine. Both is acceptable.
So all this has been building between the six girls in some fashion. Tegan and Shotzi have had run-ins with Dakota and Raquel, and now Tegan's in something with Candace, and me and Candace have been going back and forth, as we've seen. They were a part of, they had a match on Wednesday, which turned into a tag team match with Keith Lee and Johnny Gargano as their partners, and Johnny was the best, where he didn't want to wrestle because he was wearing tight-ass pants.
Look, can we talk about the best part of that match?
Huh.
So Keith Lee gets a hold of Johnny and just straight military presses him. On the ramp, and he's going to just take him to the ring, put him in the ring, and just, you know, fucking make Johnny pay for everything that he said so far.
Mm-hmm.
Candace, being the dutiful wife, jumps on Keith Lee's back. Keith Lee doesn't notice one bit.
No.
I just love that she's like hanging on there like an, you know, like Yoda or a baby monkey on its mom. And you've got Keith that's just like, nope, keep going.
I feel something. I don't know why. Is there something on my back, guys? I think I feel something, but I don't know. It doesn't feel like there's much there. Did I walk into something? Like, what happened?
All the while, shit's still going down, but it's just, yeah, Keith just taking care of business, and Candace just along for the ride.
And that's okay. That's completely fine. We're all good with that. But yeah, I'm very much enjoying Mia Yim and Keith Lee. I hope they keep that going. I was into Candace and Johnny up until Scarlett and Cross debuted, and then after that it was like, I'm sorry guys, I just can't.
But it still works.
It still totally works. Like, it still completely works. I still like it. But like, they're trying to be the, you know, the emo, insincere heels, and then these two absolute legit badasses just show up, and you're like, I can't lie, I gotta go over here. I'm sorry, guys. I just, yeah. Scarlett Bordeaux owns my soul now. It's fine. So, but in terms of this match, it should be excellent. If somebody does not get pie-paced into pizza, we will be disappointed, but that will not affect the outcome.
It will not affect the outcome, no.
So who do we think is going to win?
Brett, you go first.
Who?
You go first.
Okay, fine. When I look at the card and how I think things are kind of going to play out, this feels heel-heavy. And a six-person tag like this kind of makes me feel like it could be made for the faces to win. Now, it's hard also because you've got Candace, who's a brand new heel, Mm-hmm. You have Dakota, who's still trying to, you know, further herself, even though she hasn't really been much on TV since the her and Tegan and Raquel thing had kicked off.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I said, there's just a lot of things that are kind of heel focused for this event that I feel like the faces need to pick up a win somewhere. And I could see it here. I could see something like Mia getting the pin on Dakota, mm-hmm. or Raquel getting taken down, being, you know, the weakest link, I think, in the match.
You are the weakest link.
But it's just, it's one of the things, like, I could see that happening. Would I be surprised if the heels won? Oh, absolutely not. Because I also think that with Candace's brand new, you know, heel turn, she kind of needs a little bit to help that out.
Mm-hmm.
So, but my pick is ultimately the faces. Team Tegan.
You always knew.
And that's how I'm putting it down. Team Tegan.
So, I'm going to go the same lines. I think the babyfaces win this matchup. The heels have sort of had their number, especially Dakota and Raquel have had Tegan's number. So this would be a good showcase for Tegan to possibly get a win. Shotzi needs a win. Mia needs a win after what happened on Wednesday. I'm going Team Tegan as well.
I think I'm going to make that a triple just because for especially Candace and Mia, we're going to see them later on in the night when Keith and Johnny square up. So there's going to be shenanigans that you can recover Candace there if you need to. And in terms of Raquel and Dakota, I feel like that's going to break down and they're going to go for Tegan and that's going to break down. And so I think what could happen is Tegan, Dakota, and Raquel are all going to kind of go off. And then that's going to leave sort of a 2-on-1 situation where Candace is going to be on her own and then she could potentially get beat up. And that's how the faces get the win.
There you go. Coin, will Team Tegan win this Sunday at TakeOver? Coin says heads. What did I do, Coin? Oh, 8-ball. My bad. 8-ball. So many things, because I'm about to do something else.
No. Heads it is.
Heads. So that would be Team Tegan. 8-ball. Will Team Tegan win on Sunday? Ask again later. Okay. Well, hey, 8-ball.
Gave you the answer.
I know. But we're not done. We have a new feature. We have a wheel.
We have a wheel?
We have a wheel. We have a wheel that's going to spin. Team 1 or Team 2 wheel? What's it going to be? The wheel's spinning? You can see on your screen. It says Team 2, which is Team Dakota.
Okay, so wheel is Team Dakota. What was 8-ball again?
It said ask again later.
Okay.
So, you know.
God, we have more inanimate objects to argue with?
Yes. Yes, we do.
Oh, Lord help us.
Lindsay, who was your pick again, just to be safe?
Team Tegan.
Team Teak. All right. You all may live another day.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. So, speaking of Keith Lee and Johnny Gargano, up next for the North American Championship, you have Keith Lee taking on Johnny Gargano.
I think we sort of went through all this with the last one. I think Johnny's heel persona is working for him. It's a whole new side of him. I mean, he did on Wednesday have the key to victory with using the key to win. But I don't think that's going to be the case on Sunday. I don't think Johnny gets the North American title. I think it stays around the waist of Keith Lee, because I don't think Johnny needs the belt just yet.
I would agree with that. Go ahead.
Oh, see, for me, I was going to say, this is made for Johnny to win, in my opinion, only because you've had him starting off on the heel persona. He got the win over Tommaso. And I think giving him the belt right now just adds that extra smarminess to him. Like, he can walk around super cocky, and it gives Keith something to chase. It gives him a nemesis to fight off of, because though he had Dominic for a little while and they had, you know, good matches, I don't know if he had that real foil to him. And I think, you know, there was Damian Priest for a little bit, but I mean, Damian Priest is NXT's Baron Corbin right now,
which we'll talk about in a moment.
So much Baron Corbin, but
he's a slutty version of Baron Corbin.
Yeah, but it gives Keith Lee an actual big nemesis to fight off of. And while you've got, you know, the women there as well having their own feud, it gives you so much to be able to work with in having the four of them all interacting with one another. So if Johnny were to win, I think it carries it a little bit more forward. Whereas I think if Keith wins, we've seen Johnny take over. We've seen him have the big matches at TakeOver, but we've also seen a lot of takeovers with him losing. And I think with this new heel persona, giving him a win and giving him that title just lets him take that, you know, cockiness and that arrogance and just that kind of backhandedness that he's had over the past few weeks up another notch.
Lindsay?
Like I said earlier, I think the girls are going to get involved in this somehow. I think this is going to have shenanigans. I think this would be a good way to keep the title on Keith while either handing Johnny or Keith the win, but it's not clean, which means they get to go on to the next show or the next pay-per-view, because let's all be completely honest, this is going on. This is not going to stop here. So they need a way to kind of set that up. And I feel like that in this instance, Johnny is going to, the match somehow, something is going to cost Johnny this match because he's Johnny Takeover, right? And he wins more than he loses, but we all love him because he wins more than he loses. I don't see them giving him the title just yet. I think Keith can hold on to it a little bit longer and be okay. Because, I mean, here's the thing. They could do the next match on NXT, and that gives them another match on NXT. Or they could save it for a pay-per-view. They can continue the storyline. Whatever they need to do. I don't think they're in a hurry to take that title off of Keith Lee right now. He's a very good champion for them. It's working for him. And I love the whole Mia Yim, Keith Lee stuff they've got going on. Like, I'm here for it. So, yeah, I feel like it's not going to move just yet. I mean, I could see them that somehow Keith Lee loses the match, like, through shenanigans and Johnny wins, but he doesn't get the title. I could see them doing something like that, but I just don't know.
So what's your official pick?
I'm going to say Keith Lee wins.
I'm going Keith Lee. Brent, you're going?
I'm going Johnny.
8-Ball, will Keith Lee retain his title? It is certain. You now go to the wheel. Spin the wheel. Wheel goes Wrestler 1, which would be the champion, Keith Lee.
There you go.
I'm the lone wolf tonight, damn it.
Just like Baron Corbin.
Oh, you go straight to hell.
And speaking of Baron Corbin and going straight to hell, up next we have the Battle of the Sluts. Finn Balor taking on Damian Priest in a rather interesting match, because they kind of did stuff to build this and they kind of didn't do stuff to build this, if that makes a lot of sense.
So it was it was Damian who was the one who attacked Finn before Finn was supposed to fight. Was it Tommaso?
It was Cameron Grimes.
Finn was supposed to fight, I think, Ciampa. Because Ciampa...
No, it wasn't Ciampa, it was...
Johnny. It was either Johnny or Ciampa, one of them, I think.
Wasn't it Cole?
Was it Cole?
Might have been Adam Cole.
Oh, yeah, it was Cole, because it was for the... Get the retire. Anyway, he was supposed to fight someone. The person doesn't really matter. And then Finn was taken out. And it was revealed that it was Damian Priest, and that was after the Cameron Grimes match, because everyone thought it was Cameron Grimes who took Finn out, but in fact it was Damian Priest.
Not me. I thought it was Dexter Lumis.
You didn't think it was Dexter Lumis. So that's what set up this whole thing. There really hasn't been much build after that, but it set the stage for what is to come this Sunday. I mean, in one perspective, Damian Priest needs an NXT TakeOver win, but it's Finn Balor, and they always need to keep him strong. What?
Nothing. Just, I love this. Kind of like, Damian Priest really does need this win, but there's that big but that follows.
It's Finn Balor. It's Finn Balor. It's Finn Balor on a takeover stage. Finn Balor really never loses on a takeover stage. He is one of their top tier players, and I don't think Damian Priest is going after any one of importance right now, while you could slide the Finn Balor into a feud for either the North American or NXT Championship. I don't think they're going to go put Damian Priest in either slot right now.
Yeah, okay, we used the analogy earlier. Priest is kind of Baron Corbin. For me, he's just kind of there. And yeah, you can put him as a big guy in a feud, but honestly, do we really think that he, like, entering these kinds of feuds, that he has a chance? Or is he just kind of there to fill out or as an opponent for someone who might need it?
At one time, I would have said the first one, because he had such, like, big dick energy, right? When he showed up in NXT and he had this swagger and they were all about him and they were making him, and then I think what happened to him is what happened to a lot of people, where the pandemic hit and the brakes got hit on everything. And he didn't show up for a while, and we didn't see him, and we didn't see him, and now he's coming back more regularly, just like Finn, where Finn, we didn't see him, we saw him off and on, he was off TV for a couple weeks, and so they're both kind of, I feel like, a little lost right now, just in terms of direction, just in terms of what the company's trying to do with them, and that's not their fault, but it's a hard match to pick, because this has been kind of a lackluster build for both of them, where they were just literally like, oh, hey, okay, all right, so we're going to have Finn Balor get attacked, and we need somebody to do it. Who can we have do it? Damien, you're going to take out Finn Balor. Okay, awesome. Like, I just feel like that's kind of how that happened. And they've tried to build it as best they can. We've had a few really good confrontations between the two. I think the match is going to be nothing short of good. Like, I think this has the potential to be a show stealer, because Damian Priest is extremely solid in the ring, and we all know Finn. So, but the story is just a little meh. I mean, honestly, I was more interested in Finn Balor versus Cameron Grimes, but that's just me. So, I don't know who to pick, but I think this feud suffered at the hands of the pandemic, unfortunately.
So who you got?
I don't know. I want to say Damian Priest, because he needs the win. He needs it so bad, but it's Finn. It's Finn. And they brought Finn in as a heel. They're trying to make him a top heel in the company, but that spot kind of up for grabs right now, and somebody else and his wifey or girlfriend may have it. Fiance may already have it. We'll have to see. So honestly, I think between the two, Finn could probably take the loss. But I don't know what it does for Damian Priest if he wins. I don't know where they go with him if he wins.
So who's your pick?
Finn.
Okay. Right. Who's your pick?
I love how she's talking up Damian Priest, and then the time comes to put pen to paper, and it's Finn.
It's like every WWE push, you talk him up so much, and then when it comes to the big show, hey, Roman wins, LOL. John Cena wins, LOL. Finn Balor wins, LOL.
It's logic. It's logic. As much as I don't want to pick Finn, I know, and I'm with Whit. We're winners either way. I mean, let's all be real. At least those of us that are into this, we're winners either way. I'm not. This is not going to be a bad match to look at. But like, it's Finn, and Finn needs the win every bit as much as Damian, because again, Finn was off TV for a long time, and he's another one that when the brace got hit, his push kind of went out the window. So it's, you know, and they brought Finn in to NXT to be the star on that show, to hold that show down. That's why they brought him back to NXT, and they took him off Raw, and they took him off SmackDown. One, because it wasn't working. And two, because he's always been better in NXT for them. They know how to write him. They know how to put him out for the general audience where they're going to love him either way. And I think you have to get Finn back up to that top spot. You can take Damian with him. I'm totally okay with that. But it's Finn. It's fucking Finn, y'all. I don't know what to tell you.
Brent, who you got?
So I'm going to use Lindsay's logic here, but in a different way.
Oh, God, why?
Because I can't. So yeah, this feud to me is a Corona feud, in the fact of, I think they had a bigger plan for Finn, but shit hit the fan and they were like, well, that's not going to work. We now need to go here. And so
his plan was Walter.
Exactly.
Yep.
So I have a feeling that Damian is the fill-in. He's okay. We need someone for him to face. Tommaso is helping the new guy. Johnny is heel and is facing Keith.
And they just
for the belt.
Did,
and they just did it.
Yeah, they just did it.
It's what helped precipitated Johnny going to the dark side. But they needed someone to fill in, and the closest thing that, or, you know, the next kind of level down. Oh, and also Dream and Cole are having their bromance feud with one another. So the next biggest thing that they could find, literally, was Damian Priest. That being said, because this is a Corona feud, because they needed something as a stopgap, I know they have the whole, if you come at the Prince, you best not miss, and Damian Priest's whole gimmick is, like, the Archer of Infamy, he doesn't miss. And as much as I think a win over Balor could make Damian Priest, it's one of those things like when we talked about The Undertaker back in the day in the streak. Whoever beats the streak, you get a rub off of it. And I think if you knock off Finn Balor in NXT, you get a rub because of who Finn Balor is and what he means to NXT there. That same time, once Corona is lifted, you know, once the stuff is lifted and you can get people traveling back and everything, we know where Finn is going, and he has to look strong against Walter, because Walter is the ring general. He is the beast. And honestly, I think this feud, because it's a stopgap, because we know what's coming next, it's just, it would help Damian, but it's Finn. And Finn can play up the fact of, you know, you tried to take your shot, but he's the prince. It's his territory. And you just don't have what it takes.
I'm going Finn Balor. 8-Ball, does Finn Balor beat Damian Priest on Sunday? Don't count on it. Then go to we go to the wheel. The wheel spins. Wrestler 2, which would be Damian Priest.
By the way, can we ask the 8-Ball again who's going to win the women's match? It is later.
8-Ball, who will win the women's match? The 6-Ball, will Team Tegan win the women's match? All signs point to yes.
Okay, Tegan. All right. 8-Ball, I like you. Will, you're a whore.
Okay, what's next?
Up next, this should be the match of the night. Contender, for sure. The one we've all kind of been waiting for. What will Scarlett be wearing? We have no idea, but Tommaso Ciampa is taking on Karrion Kross in a grudge match. This should be good as shit. There is no stipulation, unfortunately.
It's not what she will be wearing, it's what she won't.
How much will she be missing?
Well, you know, she could come out in a full body suit. You don't know. She could. You don't know her.
Oh, God, yes. I'm sorry. Were we talking about something?
All we know is it's going to be latex. Okay, y'all? It's going to be black latex.
It's going to be a good match. You all know the story. It's going to be really good. But
there's a match.
Sorry. But you look up and down the card. Okay, Johnny Gargano, he's probably going to lose. Finn, we were thinking he's going to win. Yeah. And then the staple of, you know, let's put over someone new. Tommaso is the guy you have to use to make this new guy. Karrion Kross. Killer Kross. Whatever you want to call him. This is his big debut. This ain't going to be a 5-second squash match on NXT television. He has to deliver. He has to perform against, as he called himself, the main event. Boy, I mean, he's been with Shawn forever. they all have. This is Karrion Kross to put on a performance, and Tommaso's going to be the guy to put him to, you know, push him to his limits.
Let's all be real. Shawn refuses to let any of his children leave him. That's why they made NXT a permanent brand, is he just looked at Hunter and he went, no.
No. So it's like, it's really simple. Karrion's going to probably go over this one.
Yeah, I kind of have to agree with that. This is going to be fantastic. I would expect them to go everywhere. I would expect this to be a fight. But yeah, Karrion really has to win, because as Rock said, this is the coming out party that he's been riding on a high. They've been doing everything right with him, from the debut to the squash matches to Scarlett scouting Tommaso to the back and forth. Like, all of it has been absolutely spot on. It's been perfect, and it makes complete sense for Karrion to take out Tommaso, because we all know how good Tommaso is when he chases something. He needs to chase Karrion for a while. And I think that's what we're going to get, and I'm fine with that. Brent? Yeah.
The one thing that we've seen in this that we haven't really seen from anyone in terms of Tommaso Ciampa is someone stalking Tommaso. Yeah, we had Johnny, like, we would come out to get him, but Johnny was the good guy. He wasn't, you know, Tommaso's the hunter.
And now he's the prey.
Right. He's the black heart. He's the guy that, you know, methodically would come after you. And in matches, he will break you apart in like 8 different ways, as we have seen with people like Johnny and others. And yet you have this force that showed up. And as we've seen, you know, as you can see in the Animal Kingdom and in other things, if you want to make a presence, you go for, you know, the headline. You go for the one that leads the tribe. And Tommaso, ever since he came back, has kind of been the face of NXT. I know that Cole's been the champion, but Tommaso is kind of the heart. And that's why the match with Johnny last takeover was so interesting, because it was almost like the fight for the heart of NXT.
Yeah, that was how it was built.
Right. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, you had Johnny takeover, you had Tommaso, you've got this epic storyline. But since Tommaso's come back, he's been kind of the main face for everyone to be able to rally behind. And yet it was so interesting when he beat Johnny and he's giving that promo where he's saying that it's going, you know, that Johnny's going to be the better man. And that is when Cross hit, and you never saw it. And that's what always makes such a great, like, horror villain, is when you don't see what happens and you just kind of were like, whoa, what's going on off screen? And you just saw Tommaso hit the ground. You saw Scarlett's boot come into shot. Very nice boot, by the way. And then you saw Cross just right there. And that is what sold his appearance. And since then, he's laid waste to everyone. And I think one of the things that was really interesting was what they did this week with Killer Cross. Or Karrion Kross, when he comes in after the Cameron Grimes match, and we've seen him beat up smaller guys and be able to throw them around. He picked up Reed and chucked him like a bag of potatoes, like it was nothing. And I think that's one of those moments where you've seen him throw the developmental talent around, but when he's able to hit that suplex on someone the size of Bronson Reed, you kind of go, oh shit. And now you realize what a powerhouse and what a kind of monster he really is. And so when he's facing Tommaso, someone who we know can take things to another level and kind of go dark, it makes you go, what's going to happen here? Because, you know, Tommaso, after getting jumped, is willing to take things to a certain level. We don't know what Cross is capable of quite yet. And so when he's facing someone like Tommaso Ciampa, it's intriguing to see where they're going to go, especially in terms of like how it's going to finish. Because that's going to say a lot moving forward of, you know, what happens with Cross. And like Lindsay said, is this the start of Tommaso kind of like, okay, now he's going to be on the hunt for Karrion Kross?
So your pick is?
My pick is Kross. Because I think there's a lot more that you can do with it. I think it gives Tommaso that kind of carrot to chase, in a sense. Because after this, I don't know if there's a lot for Tommaso to do, because I think some of the main players are going to be doing certain things or could be going certain places, as we may talk about. And so I think this could be one of those feuds that goes two or three takeovers and can go, like, escalate up another level or two.
8-Ball, does Karrion Kross win on Sunday? Most likely. Wheel, who wins? It says Wrestler 1, which is Tommaso.
Alright, up next, and again, which should be a fantastic match, nobody's doubting, the NXT Championship is on the line as Charlotte is taking on Io Shirai and Rhea Ripley.
Okay, right off the gate, I really wish we had a crowd. I know there are going to be wrestlers in attendance, but this would be the coming out part, the big return of Charlotte in front of the NXT faithful as their champion in a takeover environment, and you really want to see Charlotte back in that takeover environment have a really special match. That said, these three women, if it was anything like what happened in WrestleMania when Rhea Ripley and Charlotte just beat the hell out of each other for 10 minutes, we're in for a hell of a fight. Io is fantastic. Rhea is awesome. Charlotte is one of the best workers they have right now. And she's willing to pull out all the stops on big events. This is a big event. This is NXT TakeOver. Her first NXT TakeOver in 4 years? 3-4 years? Something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
So this is going to be really good. When it comes to who's going to walk out with the title, I don't think Io gets the belt on this one. I don't think she's in position. I think she's here to take the fall, whether it be for Rhea or whether it be Charlotte. I'm not sure yet. What do you guys think? Brent?
This is a match where I think one of these people will be disappearing soon. I think we may see someone on Mondays or Fridays. In terms of it, I like having Rhea back. She disappeared a little bit after WrestleMania. It could have been legal issues. It could have been other things, but it was kind of nice to have Charlotte kind of out there and getting the spotlight as the NXT champion before Rhea comes back to try and avenge that WrestleMania loss. Because I think if she had just immediately gone after it, it would have lost a little something. And then it's like, oh, Rhea lost. Okay, now she's going to get that, you know, next chance. Whereas with this, it feels like she's been, you know, maybe she was off training or maybe she was doing something. We're not fully sure, but we know that there was that delay. Io earned her shot. Do I think she has a shot here? No, like you said, she's the sacrificial lamb in order to take the pin so that you can either protect Charlotte or Rhea can still look good in the loss, but Charlotte can escape with the win. I think this could possibly be Io's final NXT match before she does move on, as per rumors. But I think if you're going to have Rhea win, don't do it in the triple threat. Have her actually take Charlotte on one-on-one. Have Charlotte just kind of hold it over her that she beat Rhea and that she wasn't ready. Because as we saw with Rhea versus Shayna, if you can get, and wait for this actually to be in front of the crowd, because I think if Rhea can beat Charlotte in front of a crowd, you get that second moment of like everyone going nuts for her. It kind of puts that flag in the ground for Rhea and kind of help show that she is that next level and ready to carry NXT.
Lindsay, thoughts?
So there's a few things kind of rolling around in my head, which is always a dangerous thing. One, and I think the biggest, is Becky Lynch getting pregnant and the fact that there is a void in the Raw women's division right now. And yes, they can absolutely make people and they should make people, but I think you need somebody to kind of come in and hold the fort down, as it were, for Becky and be that either that top face or that top heel as they need them to be. They're definitely doing the top face thing with Asuka. Asuka needs someone to play off of. There ain't nobody better than Charlotte for Asuka to play off of. We know that. Io would also be somebody really good for Asuka to play off of. Or even Rhea herself. There's that whole thing, especially since they're not going to push Shayna Baszler, which sucks, but if it makes Asuka, okay, it's a worthy sacrifice. So the other thing is I think they put the title on Charlotte because of Rhea's issues. They didn't know how long she was going to be gone for, especially since, again, we're going to say a lot tonight, or have said it a lot, pandemic. They were not sure how long Rhea Ripley was going to have to be gone for. They didn't know when she was going to have to go back, and they didn't know when they were going to get her back, which was the biggest thing, and that is the challenge that they have faced with a lot of their international talent that are not necessarily based in the U.S., is that they do run into visa issues. They do have to get those resolved, and part of that is that people have to go home, and they have to stay home for a little while, and then they can come back. And with everything going on in the world, travel is a little iffy right now. And it's hard to get from point A to point B, especially if it's international. So I think Charlotte was a stopgap for Rhea so they could get that taken care of. Rhea is now back. I think, and this is just me, I think continuing to keep the title on Charlotte is a waste. It's perfect if there's a live crowd and you have this takeover environment and you have her in front of those fans, it works. It 100% works. But it's a little bit of a waste to have her there and she's not in front of that live crowd. I think you could have Io or Rhea do the job equally as well and be fine. I'm serious about that. I think, especially all the circumstances, Charlotte needs to go where she's more needed, and I feel like she's needed more on Raw or SmackDown, especially since they've had her on all three shows to kind of keep her relevant and have use that star power that she has. I feel like she could go other places and be perfectly fine. You can still have her go back and forth to NXT because she'll have a rematch clause if they still do those, or if those are back. I don't know if those are back yet.
I don't think they're
back.
But
you don't think they're back?
No.
So, I mean, honestly, I would love to see Io get the title. She hasn't had it.
But she may be up on the road to Raw or SmackDown soon, so.
I know that, but I really would love to see Io get the title just because.
It's Io.
It's Io. She deserves it. She's more than earned it.
I understand Io deserving it, but at the same time, Rock, correct me if I'm wrong, her contract is coming up, correct?
I don't know.
I believe so, yes.
The rumor is her contract is coming up, and with what's the Stardom?
Oh yeah, they were going after all the Japanese women.
They're going after Io, trying to bring her back, And WWE supposedly is considering bringing Io up because that would give her main roster money, which would be more appealing. And, you know, there's more oomph behind that than trying to offer her a new NXT contract to get her to stay, because there's just not a lot of money involved with that.
Well, it's not even money. It's primarily opportunity, I feel like, to her, because she's so good at what she does that Io has been wasted a little bit in NXT. They had her going for a while, and then I forget exactly what happened. I don't remember if she got hurt. Or she came out, because they had her in that feud with Shayna, I think.
She did get hurt a while back.
And she got hurt and she came back, and that kind of derailed her, and they could never really find a footing with her again. And then they turned her heel, and she's been doing the heel thing, and that's been gaining traction, and that's been going well for her. But they've just never really been able to get that foothold back as what she had when she first debuted, because part of it was Kari was there, I think. And Asuka was still kind of around, and they were able to sort of have all three of them work together and sort of flirt with each other kind of thing. So I think it would make complete sense that you have Io Shirai go up and potentially be with Asuka and Kari, and you form that three-girl heel stable. That would be, honestly, I would be okay with that. But I think, and this is just me personally, this is my own selfish wants and needs, would love to see a heel version of Io win that title and hold that title, but I could see it very easily going back to Rhea as well, because you can have Rhea sit on top of the division and be completely dominant and carry the division as needs be. It's a hard pick to make.
So who's your pick?
I'm wrong. I'm so wrong, but I'm going with my heart. I want Io Shirai to win.
Brent, you're going?
I'm going Charlotte, because I think if she stays around NXT, this is one of those things that they have over AEW, their women's division. And if Charlotte is there, it adds even more to it than just... And don't get me wrong, NXT's women's division is far and away better than AEW's. No offense to anyone out there who likes AEW, but I don't know if anyone can really disagree with that. But having someone like Charlotte on top and having someone like Rhea chase, and when Rhea wins, that being kind of a linchpin moment, especially for the NXT women's division, sets up more. So I'm going to go with Charlotte right now.
I think there are a couple more matches Charlotte can do. There are people Charlotte can get in the ring with in NXT that you want to see her get in the ring with. I wouldn't mind seeing Tegan versus Charlotte at some point on NXT television, 15-minute match for the championship.
Yes!
I wouldn't mind that. I think there's still some steam left in the Charlotte title reign in NXT till the end of the summer. Then you put it back on Rhea, and you go from there. I'm going Charlotte wins and retains. 8-Ball, does Io Shirai win on Sunday? 8-Ball says Io Shirai wins.
Fuck, it's not gonna happen.
We spin that wheel. The wheel says Charlotte.
Of course.
No. All right. No one on this call is going with Rhea right now.
I don't think she's ready for it to get it back yet. I don't think it's time. Even though that would help us tremendously with fantasy points, it just doesn't work right now.
Love to see it go back on Rhea, but just I want Io more.
Rock, kind of leading into the next match, because it's something that we always joke about. How old is Rhea Ripley?
She's very young. 23, right?
She's only 22 or 23. If she doesn't win now, there's still plenty of time. You know that she's going to be a star. She's going to be one of those people that I think can make that transition to the next level as well. We kind of talked about this with Shayna, but and they dropped the ball with that. But I think Rhea can go up to the main roster and be a dominant personality up there too, because I think the fans would gravitate to her.
When
they do have fans. I think she could really easily kind of fill that sass master, gives no fucks attitude, that hole that Becky Lynch has left behind. Because I think while Becky has indicated she wants to come back, we don't know if she's actually going to come back. So I think Rhea...
If Becky comes back, it's at least 2 years out.
Yeah. So Rhea could definitely fill that spot very, very easily and be completely fine in it. So she could be another one that they just say, you know what, we're going to send you up because we need you up there right now.
And everyone has had that exposure to her already through Survivor Series weekend last week or last year when you saw her dominate War Games, and then, you know, the three brand elimination match where she was a star, and I don't think anyone can deny that.
No, they did her all the favors. They made her for sure last year at Survivor Series, and then they featured her again in the Women's Royal Rumble, I think this year. And
WrestleMania.
And WrestleMania. So they have done everything they can to make sure Rhea Ripley is right up there, ready to go if they need to move her. And I think that was always the intention, was for Rhea to come over to the United States, be in the main NXT branch for a while, and then she goes to Raw or SmackDown. I think that was also the plan for Pete Dunne as well. I don't know, though. But I'm fairly sure they did bring Rhea over with the full intent of her hitting the higher roster, just because she is a star, and she needs to be on either Raw or SmackDown, or she should be on Raw or SmackDown. It's not necessarily should. But yeah, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if she doesn't go up, just because they need her. But speaking of need, we all need this. For the NXT Championship, you have Adam Cole taking on Velveteen Dream in a back lot brawl.
That's not what he wanted from you. Say the champion's name correctly.
Adam Cole, baby.
There we go. Hey, he's held the title for a full year. He has earned.
Put some respect on that name.
Look, there's a line to suck that man's dick, all right? I'm just skipping the line.
And it starts with the doctor.
DM.
So this matchup, Adam Cole, boom. Yeah, he is boom. So this match is already taking place. This match is filmed. This is a backlot match. According to Hunter, there's a traditional ring in a backlot setting. From what has been gathered, there'll be a bunch of cars around the ring. All the trainees' cars are around the area. So that'll make things interesting. Apparently when they were filming, it was raining. So
I feel so bad for the stories that I've heard about this match, that the trainees had to be there to be in the crowd for all of the tapings. And then they're like, oh no, the next day, they're like, bring your cars, we need them for this match. And then it's a torrential downpour, and they couldn't start filming until midnight.
Yeah, that's terrible. I wish I got paid for that.
That's,
you know,
living the dream. And then, like, stories of the developmental talent weren't allowed to eat with the main roster talent. Like, they had to bring their own meals and eat outside. It was just like, it's one of those things, like, you're just going, so this is what paying your dues is like.
How come paying your dues? So,
Sure them not being able to eat together is more due to the pandemic than anything else.
Well, no, I know. I mean, I absolutely understand. And I mean, that's exactly what it's for. But it's still just one of those things, like, they've got to be there in the crowd. They have to stand.
Can I get them chairs? I feel like chairs should be there.
Supposedly, they're allowed to sit, but it has to be during the breaks because they don't want them sitting on camera. They want them standing and active and being, like, cheering on.
Well, that's fine. They can do that, but, you know, chairs?
So, this is going to be different. This is not cinematic. Hunter doesn't, like, want to call this cinematic because
it's pre-taped cinematic.
It's not really cinematic. It's just a wrestling match in a different environment. And he went out of his way not to credit Matt Hardy for any of the cinematic stuff. But put over Borash, because they were doing cinematic in quotation stuff back when they were doing the grocery store thing way back when. So, that's...
I mean, technically, couldn't you credit either Goldust or Taker with, like, the first quote-unquote cinematic because of the backlot brawl or the Boiler Room brawl match?
I wouldn't say Boiler Room was a cinematic. I would say the Piper and Goldust was a cinematic feature of some sort.
Intercut with news footage from some event that may have happened.
It may or may not have taken place back in the early 90s. I mean, the juice may have been on loose. Anyway, moving on. These two have been back and forth, and this is the last time Velveteen Dream can challenge for the NXT Championship as long as Adam Cole is the champion. It will be a unique match. When they said it was going to be a unique location, I thought they were going to do something else than a backlot brawl, but, you know, somewhere where Velveteen Dream probably was more at home.
That's what I was going to say. I wanted, like, a Prince Dreamscape where Adam Cole had to walk into it and be like, what the hell is this?
But we don't know. We could still get that.
You still could.
We don't know where the ring is. We just know it's there.
It's there.
Somewhere.
Somewhere. In the back lot.
I mean, it could be in the Dreamscape and it would be fine.
I'm just imagining, like, you know, we've seen the Boneyard when Taker comes rolling in, and then we had the, I don't know, the Mindscape, or I don't even know how to describe the Firefly Funhouse that we got.
It's the Bray Wyatt experience.
We got the full Bray Wyatt experience there. I just, at some point in this match, you know, let it be a match for part of it. Let them kind of fight around. And then I would just love, yet, like, Cole gets thrown somewhere, like, into one, like, into a building. And then all of a sudden, it's just the couch and the purple lighting. And just, like, you see him walk into, like, this new world, and he just has the look like, what the hell did I just get into? And, like, part of the match is filmed like that. I would love something like that just because it is different. And you could still have the fight, but it would allow you to take kind of a little bit of a leap with certain things of it. And, I mean, that could just be in the middle if you wanted to. Like, have a serious match, this bit. And then you can finish off with something, you know, either grand or just, again, back to regular wrestling.
All that said, who's walking out as your champion, right?
So Cole's contract is up in August.
Supposedly.
And I think that after this run and after what we've seen, there is some kind of thoughts of, you know, if they're going to move him, this would start to be the time that they need to. Because if that contract is up and let's say there is a hiccup in negotiations, he would become a free agent around Labor Day.
Supposedly.
And the doctor, who has kind of some skin in the game for this, was saying how great it would be for a certain club to reunite somewhere.
They'd have to bring him back to life, but yeah.
Yeah, they did kind of kill him, but then again, we've seen that they can do that apparently in their
they can bring back another funeral. I mean, they had a funeral one time to bring back. Wait, never mind.
Yeah. But also, like I said, kind of in all seriousness, if his contract is up, I could see them being like, hey, let's pull the trigger and bring him up, because as much as Uncle Sean probably loves his son here, Cole very much has an HBK kind of vibe to him. And if you put him up on the main roster, he could present some very interesting scenarios, especially if he's on SmackDown with people like Bryan and Hardy and some other people that you know he could have some great matches with.
AJ.
Yeah. Yeah. Just picture Adam Cole versus a couple of those names on a list, and your instant thought is, yes, please. Also, rumor has it that Dream could be in line for taking a step up. The problem is, I think Dream is one of those people, when we talked about is made for NXT, he very much is right now. Mm-hmm. His experience, and I use experience in quotations, not like in-ring experience, but just the essence of what the Velveteen Dream is made for Full Sail and the NXT crowd. It's one of those kind of intimate, personal, like, draw the fans in. I don't know if necessarily the Dream right now is built for 15,000 people arenas all the time.
It has the potential, but right, it's so hard to predict right now because we don't know what now is. Now is in a different situation. We are doing different things, and it's changing by the minute, the day, the second.
And as much as I think Vince likes the charisma of Dream, my question to you guys is, does the writing staff of Raw and SmackDown know how to handle someone like the Velveteen Dream?
Raw, yes. SmackDown, no.
But even on Raw, wouldn't it feel, to me, it would feel like the way they would do Dream is the way that they're doing Street Profits versus Viking Raiders right now.
Which is entertaining, but that's going to run its course.
Right, and I think it's one of those things like Dream will have... Dream, the best way I can describe this is Vince likes his charisma, but I could see Dream as being a prop guy for WWE on Raw, where he'd end up using something and Vince would be like, oh my God, that's great. And then he'd be saddled with it for a while, i.e. EC3 and the Red Cup when he was on TV. So in this instance, because they're saying the fact of if Dream loses, he doesn't get another title shot while Cole holds the belt. And because you have a very creepy guy who has eyes on the other three people of the Undisputed Era, that gives Dream a kind of equalizer, something that we haven't seen when Cole faces others.
It does, but at the same point, to me, and this is me since he's come back from injury, Dream is cold. There isn't the same oomph behind who he was.
Because he doesn't have the crowd.
He doesn't have the crowd. Yeah, his gimmick works with the crowd, him interacting with the crowd, getting them excited, getting them boo, whatever it is. And right now, there's no oomph behind him, and it's really lacking. So putting him in a position to be the champion in this environment, in this situation, I don't know.
Yeah.
It just doesn't, to me, it doesn't feel right right now. It just doesn't. But at the same time, you got the whole thing with Cole and his contract and leaving and yada, yada, yada. But that's still 3 months out. And
but then it's also the question of, and I mean, I understand that we've talked about certain things, but who would Cole face after this? Because we had kind of said that we want to see him face Dream. We know Balor is kind of in a program right now. So you don't necessarily want to put Balor versus Cole because the intent is Balor versus Walter. Johnny is fighting for... Johnny's fighting for Johnny, and if I have my way, he'll have a belt after this weekend. I mean, Keith frees up, but then we run into the issue of Keith Lee loses a belt and then instantly is put in a title picture again. So if Cole wins, the question is who does he face?
And you can find somebody. There's always...
Oh, no, I understand that you can find someone, but it poses a question of... Cole's held the belt for a year. He's kind of run through a lot of these main event guys. I understand Dream is cold. I understand Dream needs the crowd. But at least with Dream, it's like if he wins, you kind of have, I think, a little wiggle room around with who he could face.
You could. That would be the perk of Damien Priest winning.
Plus, if Dream wins and someone helps him, you could have a feud built right there.
I mean, for me... Adam Cole has done everything in NXT. He's held all the titles. He's been champion for 1 year. He has carried that brand on his back since he showed up, as have the rest of Undisputed Era.
He's taken the monster bump off of the War Games cage. He has literally done everything.
He has been the workhorse for that brand. Survivor Series weekend was evidence of that based on the fact that he defended the title at Survivor Series and he did War Games night before.
And that whole month of November working Raw, working SmackDown, just doing everything, even injured.
Even injured. He has proved himself a credit to the company, and I think they would do everything they can to get him to keep him around. Whether that's more money, whether that's him going up to the main roster, whatever they have to do to keep him, I feel like they're going to. And I aside from wanting to be with Britt, right, which is would be his main reason.
And his friends.
And his friends, but mainly Britt. That would be the only reason that I could see him leaving. I think they've done everything they can to make him happy and keep him happy, and I don't see that changing. And the same thing goes for the rest of Undisputed Era, depending on what their contract statuses are. They have done everything to make them happy and keep them happy. They're just in a very awkward situation right now because of, again, pandemic, where what do you do, right? What do you do? I'm inclined to believe that just because they're highlighting the fact that Cole has been champion for a year, he's getting ready to lose the title. Because, again, that question is, who does Adam Cole face? And we can't think of anybody, so they have to build somebody. Versus if you give it to Velveteen Dream, you already have a couple feuds set up. You can have Adam Cole take a nice break, a nice long break if you need to, have him off TV for a week or two, maybe even a month, depending on how the contract negotiations go and you work all that out. And then you either bring him back to NXT or you have him show up on Raw or SmackDown, preferably SmackDown because I think that would be a better spot for him. But just him going up worries me because I feel like they're not going to get him and he's going to get pushed off to the side. but hopefully not. And you finally give the title to Dream. Just because, like I said, it's use it or lose it, right? As long as Adam Cole is champion, Velveteen Dream cannot challenge for that title. He, like Brent said, he has Dexter Lumis in his back pocket. Dream, until they get a writing staff, and no offense, Vince McMahon is gone, either retired or the alternative, which hopefully it's retired, he needs to stay in NXT. Because if they send him to the main roster, I don't think they're going to get him. And we're going to have another situation where he gets watered down, or he gets pushed off to the side, or he just gets left at the wayside. In NXT, he is a star. The crowds will come back, and he will warm up again. And it's just hard because it's all been very disjointed right now. If you're going to do it, now is the moment to do it. Put the title on Dream, and let Dream be the champion.
So you're going Velveteen Dream.
I'm going Velveteen Dream. I just, the use it or lose it clause is everything. I just can't see why you would have Dream lose, unless Dream loses on a technicality, which he could. Dexter Lumis could cost him the title, which means he can't go after Adam Cole anymore, and now Dream's going to come after Dexter Lumis. You could do that. That leaves Adam Cole in the lurch. And then that means Adam Cole has to drop the title for Dream to challenge. Like, they've had multiple opportunities to put the title on Dream. They have not done it. Now's your moment.
Brent, you're going?
Going the Velveteen Dream.
I want to go Adam Cole, but because I just don't think it's time for Dream, especially with other situations he's been involved in that he may have may or may not have done. So going up on the main roster may not be the smartest move right now based on his history of things. That's a
dance
weird.
Around that dance, man, dance.
It's more of a slide, more of a slip. Anyway.
You mean like Keith?
Never mind.
One hop this time, two hops this time. Oh wait, not that kind of slide.
Not that kind of slide. Anyway.
Isn't that the one that's about masturbation?
Oh, this is how our conversations go, y'all.
But I'm serious. I thought I heard that was about masturbation or something like that, or sex or something.
So that would fit perfectly with. Anyway, I'm gonna go Velveteen Dream, even though I'm not really buying it right now. 8-Ball, does Velveteen Dream win the title on Sunday? 8-Ball says most likely. Time to spin that wheel. It goes Adam Cole, baby.
The wheel is the only one to go Adam Cole.
I mean, he's a resilient fucker. He could.
And that's when Roderick turns on him at the end of the night.
I mean, good.
That's who his next challenger will be, because we don't see anyone else turning, and you know that a takeover usually has one.
What random indie star will be spotted in the crowd this Sunday at NXT TakeOver in your house where they're not giving away a house this time?
They could, but you know.
Wait, I know who they'll have in the crowd. So they'll have their show. It'll be like after the Balor Priest match. The camera will go over and, oh my god, what is Drake Maverick doing here?
So yeah, that's our preview of NXT TakeOver in your house. Programming note, you're all going to be looking for a recap. There will be one available for you on Monday of NXT TakeOver.
It's a little awkward in terms of programming right now, guys.
So yeah. we'll have one available for you on Monday. It'll be available to download Monday afternoon. Don't worry, we got you covered. We'll have the TakeOver review. Because a certain show is actually going to show up and do their show on Sunday.
Because they have to do a pay-per-view preview.
They're contractually obligated for one show a month.
Two
shows.
Preview and...
Oh, that's right.
Anyway, another programming note. No Fortnite with Friends tonight because it's 12:11 and there's no... Yeah. So no Fortnite with Friends tonight. There will be Fortnite with Friends on Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern, which will follow then with CB Radio Midnight-ish Eastern, CBRadio.com, GreatDebate.com. Programming note number three.
On Monday, we talked about how we would have a live stream on Saturday afternoon. No. So that's twice we promoted it, and no, not Saturday.
We'll let you know when it's going to happen.
Fortnite keeps getting in the way.
So that will probably be a week from Monday at 2 p.m.
Yeah, it's... Things keep getting moved because of current events. So there's that.
So...
Why a Monday, though? Why does it have to be on a Monday?
I don't know. So Sunday night, WrestleTalk Radio will preview Backlash at 10 p.m. Eastern. So there's that. You'll have that as your wrestling stuff on Sunday. You'll have our recap available Monday afternoon, probably around noon, for you to listen to. Monday night, you'll have the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We will be back live next Thursday to preview Backlash. I think that's all. We got all that covered. Yeah. The Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. The Rack Radio Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher. You know the deal by now. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free by hitting that purple rectangular button below the screen. Use creator code ROCKSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad. Hashtag epic partner. Especially when the new season drops and the battle pass. Use the creator code. All that fun stuff. It's at Wild Talk Radio. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Brent, plug stuff where we can hear you and stuff.
Okay, well, you can usually hear me on Fortnite with friends, or at least watch me explode, typically, on Fortnite with friends on Thursdays
and
Saturdays.
Really excited.
I find boomsticks, and then I blow up.
Boom!
Because he thinks about John Moxley.
No!
And his behind. Boom.
Damn you all. You can also usually hear me on CB Radio, where I am the Spelling Bee Champion, as proven last weekend. Midnight-ish. And then if you want to see when I post any kind of ramblings, it'll be on Twitter, at Kane Kittens.
Alrighty, well, this does it for the show. Thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second, please check out our very fine friends over at mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. And, you know, also if you want to like, subscribe, follow the channel, we greatly appreciate it. You can use your Twitch Prime to do that. And if you want to follow my channel, it's twitch.tv/LinsWard. And you can follow me on most of the social medias at LinsWard, LANSWRD. So for Rock, For Brent, we will see you on Saturday for Fortnite with Friends. We hope you guys have a great rest of the week. Happy Friday, everybody. Enjoy, and we'll see you later. Bye.